What does Jesus mean when he says that the reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand? What does he mean when he says this? To me, it sounds very suspiciously like he is saying that God doesn't want everyone to believe, to understand, to hear and believe. What? Now, I must have missed something there. Let me read it again. The reason I speak to them in parables is so that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. It sounds to me as though he is speaking these parables, he's articulating in this way, so that some people will not hear and understand. God doesn't want everyone. Yep, you heard me right. God doesn't want just anybody. God only wants those who will respond to his offered gift of grace with faith. God only wants those who will trust him. God only wants those who will believe in him and in his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. God only wants those who will say yes to the offered gift of grace, yes, and respond in faith. God only wants those who will act in faith. God doesn't want those who won't trust him. God doesn't want those who will focus on themselves, on family, friends, nation, money, rather than on the gospel. God only wants those who will do what he says, and that's have faith in Jesus. Does that make you feel uncomfortable? It does me. The idea that God wouldn't want everybody? Ouch. And yet that's essentially what Jesus is saying. He is articulating the gospel. He is speaking the truth. He is teaching in parables for the very purpose that some people will not hear, will not listen, and will not understand. He's doing it for a reason, my friends. Because God only wants people to come to him and will only receive people by faith. Not out of obligation, not even out of sheer obedience, but by obedience through faith, by belief in action, by faith empowered by God's grace, having heard the word, having heard and listened and understood it, they then believe and act on their belief by faith. God only wants those people who will do that. Still makes me uncomfortable. You mean God doesn't want everybody? Well, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. The offer of grace is made to everybody, but God won't save everybody. He only saves those who have faith in his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. He only saves those who say yes to the offered gift of grace, who say yes and accept the word and live upon it. He only wants those to hear, listen, and understand who will take the gift of God's grace, plant it deep, and grow from it. Now, at first, that makes me very uncomfortable. That's what Jesus is saying, but that makes me very uncomfortable. I mean, I want everybody to be saved. I want everybody to hear the message. I want every single time I get up to preach, I want everyone to hear the message. My friends, you may look around yourself and say, well, we're not very many of us here today. There are more than last Sunday, but, you know, there are lots of empty pews out here. And you're right, there are. But this sermon is being recorded, and tonight or tomorrow will go out on the internet. And on the internet, it will be heard by thousands of people. And I'm serious. Some of the messages I've preached here have been played by people all over the world 10,000 or more times. Think about it. You hear them here. They are recorded. They are digitized. They are uploaded to the internet. And people all over the world, from Boston to Hong Kong, from San Francisco to London, and everywhere in between, hear it, play it on a weekly basis, download it to their computer, and listen to it again. I want everybody to hear the Word. I want everybody to hear, to listen, and to understand. I want everybody to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want everybody to be saved. Amen. But my friends, Jesus spoke the gospel, the good news in parables, specifically so that those who will not understand, those who will not listen, those who will not hear, won't. Yep. He spoke it shrouded in parable, so that only those who are gifted to hear, those who are gifted to listen, those who are gifted to understand will. Because God wants people of faith. God wants people who will trust Him. God wants people who will depend upon the gospel to the exclusion of all else. And that's what the parable of the sower is about. Yes, the sower sows the seeds everywhere. He doesn't just sow it at the good ground. He sows it all over. But some are incapable of receiving. The first, let's take a look at the parable. Let's just take a look at it. A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some of the seeds fell on the path, on the wayside. And the birds came and ate them up. Now, that which is sown on the path are those who hear but do not understand the word. The birds who come and eat up what is sown are the evil one, Satan, his demons. The first are the atheists, the agnostics, who will either never hear or who are not ready to hear yet. Let me repeat that. The wayside, the pathway ground, the seeds that are sown there, those people are those who will not hear. Those for whom the parable has been couched to begin with. Those who will not hear, will not listen, will not understand, usually by their own volition. Those who have willed themselves not to hear, not to listen, not to understand, who refuse to believe, who refuse to accept the gospel, who refuse to say yes to God. Those who are atheists, those who are agnostics, those who for whatever reason have refused to listen, they are the pathway people. The people for whom the ways of this life are far more important than the gospel. Their lives are paths for the devil. Their lives are too busy and unwilling to put roots into the good soil of God's love. This first kind of person is the kind of person you meet who says they don't need God. You ever meet someone like that? I don't need God, they say. I go through life just fine without God. I don't believe in God and nothing bad happens to me. I don't believe in God and I get along just fine. I make money. I put food on my table. I have kids. We're good people. But we don't believe in God and we don't have any need for God. That's the pathway people, my friends. That's the wayside people. Those for whom the seeds, when they hit it, bounce off and the birds come and eat it. Now, for whatever reason, they exist. And the parables were articulated in this way for them. What about the second kind? they're sown on, the seeds are sown on rocky ground. Those who hear the word and immediately receive it with joy. But since it's sown on rocky ground, no roots can be put down, and hence, when problems come up, those who have received it fall away. The second kind are those who are willing to hear and happy to receive the word, but their lives are hard, unyielding, unwilling, or incapable at the moment of receiving roots. When problems, persecution comes up, they drop the message. Ridicule makes it hard to be a Christian. And it's easier just to get along with the world and not stand in direct contradiction to the world. These second group of people, the ground that's rocky, the seed comes and it can't put down deep roots. It springs up quick. It's happy. Those who receive the word and the rocky type ground folk are happy to receive the word. They hear the word. They understand it to a degree, but their lives are filled with so many stones of contention, so many other problems, so many other points of allegiance, so many other things that when the trouble, when the going gets tough, they're not the tough. I'm serious. When the going gets tough, they sit down. When the going gets tough, well, let's go golf. When the going gets tough, let's switch to another church. When the going gets tough, let's quit for a while. Let's going to go sit down, and I'm just not going to do it today. That's the second kind of person. That's the stony ground. God's grace seeps in, but they're so stony, the roots can't take deep root. When the going gets tough, they quit. I was reminded today from the hymn From Close to Thee that we just sang a few moments ago. Not for ease or worldly pleasure, nor for fame my prayer shall be. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with Thee. We were belting that out, singing it, and having a good time. I was wondering how many of us were hearing these words that we were singing. Not for ease or worldly pleasure, nor for fame my prayer shall be. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with Thee. Do we mean that? Do we really mean that? There are times when I don't mean that. If we are honest with ourselves, we don't want to suffer. We don't want to gladly toil. We don't want to do this. We just want to sit down. And, oh, heaven should be a nice, soft journey. A couch to carry you, waft you into the glory land. You've accepted Jesus. Nothing's going to happen to you ever again. There's not going to be any more trouble. No more problems, no more trials and tribulations. You know, we're going to get lifted out of it. We don't have to worry about trials and tribulation in this life. God's going to take care of us. Nonsense. Except Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're painting a target on your behind, friends, and asking the devil to kick you. And if you are rocky ground, and the grace has hit, and the plant has sprung up, you don't have much root. When the going gets tough, you sit down. You quit. Because it's tough. And you don't want to go through it. The third kind of ground, the third kind of person, are those who are willing to hear the word, receive it, and put down roots, deep roots. They mean very well, and they may become good soil with weeding, but right now the thorns are just too heavy, too strong, and too powerful, and they draw these away from the gospel, away from God. The cares of family, work, politics, the world, money, you name it, choke off the gospel. There's a difference between the stony ground and the seed that is sown where the thorns are, where the weeds are. Those that are sown on thorny ground have a chance to put down some really good deep roots. They grow up strong. They are good. But they are surrounded by too many thorns, too many weeds, too many alternative sources for allegiance, too many other things to do. We all know people who are thorny ground. We ourselves at times, if we are honest, we ourselves are thorny ground. I want you to consider with me, honestly, for a moment, when was the last time a game on TV? When was the last time an event, family or otherwise? When was the last time some personal concern took you away from the worship life of the church, took you away from your devotional time, took you away from your prayer time, took you away from the means of grace, took you away from the gospel of Jesus Christ? When was the last time that something that, quite frankly, is not all weeds are bad, friends, something good, family, rose up and stood in the way of your growing and proclaiming and being the people of God? Not all weeds are bad. Some weeds are very good. My goodness, you mow them, you make them look nice and pretty, they look like grass, don't they, Tim? I got a yard full of them. Not all weeds are bad. You can control them and you can weed them out, and the grass that is there, the plant that is there that has nice deep roots will continue and will grow and be good and will not be choked off and will spread and multiply. So long as the weeds are there, so long as the thorns are there, it doesn't matter how good the plant is, doesn't matter how deep the root is, the weed and the thorn will choke them, will take over their allegiance, will demand their attention. We, my friends, if we're honest, we must admit that our lives are often weedy. Our lives are often choked with thorns. Our lives are often choked with alternatives for the gospel, other places to place our allegiance. If we're honest, we must admit that. We need a weed eater to come and root up and tear down and cut away the thorns and enable us to grow. What's the fourth kind of person? The fourth kind are those who are called, who hear, who listen, who understand, and who sadly there are too few of. The fourth kind is the kind that we are all called to be. Good ground. Ground without weeds and thorns. Ground without rocks. Ground that's not a path. Good deep soil into which the plant can extend its roots and grow strong. And when you have a plant that extends its roots and grows strong in good soil, what does it do? It multiplies. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. What does he mean by that? What did Jesus mean when he said that the plants, the seed that is sown on the good ground springs up some 30, some 60, some 100-fold in terms of fruit? Well, not every good plant planted in good soil will produce the same amount of fruit. In other words, there's room for difference. Some produce 30, some produce 60, some produce 100-fold. Even the 30-fold produces a massive reproduction of glorious fruit to the gospel of Jesus Christ. often wanted to hear a song sung, "Oh Lord, let me be a plant that produces only 30-fold fruit." Because frankly, my friends, most of us are lucky if we do just that. God's grace wants to penetrate, my friends. God's grace wants to work way down into the soil of our hearts with deep roots that will take a hold of our hearts and will allow us to grow strong and produce 100-fold, not just 30, not just 60, but 100-fold. God would have us put down those deep roots that would give us the strength, not just to go at the devil, but then and turn around and produce 30, 60, 100-fold good fruit. I want you to check your ground today. The ground of your heart. The ground of your soul. The ground of your spirit. I want you to check your ground today. Is it a pathway? I don't think so. You're here. Most pathway people wouldn't be here. Most pathway people wouldn't bother with coming through the door. Most pathway people go to church on Christmas and Easter because they're drugged there, and at weddings and funerals because that's where those things happen. Most pathway people aren't here today, aren't in any church. Most of you, I don't think any of you, are pathway people. But you could be rocky or weedy or good. Which are you? I'm going to make you a proposal. Each of us is at least one of those. Sometimes we're good. Sometimes we've allowed God's Holy Spirit to weed us, to root out the thorns, to focus our attention, and when that happens, we're good ground. Sometimes we allow the weeds to grow. And Roundup won't help. We've got to get in there with our hands and pull them up. Let the Holy Spirit move and work in our hearts by the means of grace to pull them up. And sometimes we're rocky ground. Ooh. That's when we're in most danger. For when we're rocky ground, if any little problem comes along, we quit. And we know rocky ground people. And sometimes we are rocky ground people. And the answer there is also very simple. Get out your shovel and dig out the rocks. Get out your shovel and dig out the rocks. And lay down good soil and keep weeding it so that it becomes good ground. My friends, what kind of ground are you? Are you rocky ground? Are you weedy ground? Or are you good ground? And if you're not good ground, ask the Lord to give you what you need to dig up the rocks and work out the weeds so that the wonderful power of the Holy Spirit might penetrate deep and you might receive the good news, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that you might hear, listen, and understand and act in faith. I encourage you. I implore you as we approach Holy Week. I implore you as we approach Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday, and Holy Week, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. Ask the Lord to show you what kind of ground are you, and be honest with yourself when He shows you what you are. When He shows you the rocks in your field. When He shows you the thorns in your plant vineyard. When He shows you your weeds. Be honest and then ask the Lord to give you what you need to dig them up and throw them out. And allow God to convert you into good ground. You see, I believe that even those who are pathway people, at some point in their lives, will be given the opportunity to be rocky people. We're given the opportunity to hear will be given the opportunity to hear and to put down a little bit of root. And if they hear it, and if a root goes down, and they realize they're rocky, maybe they'll have a chance to rip out the rock. And then if they hear it and they understand, and they realize they're weedy, they'll have a chance to rip out the weeds and become good ground. I have known pathway people, wayside people. I have known people for whom their lives are nothing but a highway for the devil, who have indeed, over time, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the means of grace, have become good soil. So it's not impossible. I believe Jesus articulated his parables. I believe Jesus spoke the good news in parables because he knew that not everybody is ready to hear the gospel at the same time. But that at some point, everyone is given a chance to hear, to receive, to understand. If you're hearing and you're listening and you're understanding today, give thanks to God. You're one of those three kinds. And if you see rocks, dig them up. And if you see weeds, weed them out. And if you're good ground, multiply. 30, 60, 100-fold, and do it to the glory of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And let the people of God say, Amen.